ahead and get wired and fired up here. We have completed the book of Acts, and I enjoyed my journey. I hope it was worthwhile to each one of you also. Last week, at the end of Acts chapter 28, we talked about Paul's history that is not in the Bible, that is recorded in church history. Now, part of that was that Paul went to Rome on his first journey there. He was in prison, but it was more of a personal house arrest. He had it pretty easy. He went from there, if tradition holds true, and several of those sources seem to be accurate, at least we can trust them, reliable sources, that he went from there to the westernmost part of the Roman world, which was Spain. At some point, then he came back to Rome. This time he's arrested, and he is in a dungeon. Last week, I read several excerpts from the last book that he wrote from there, 2 Timothy. And what I would like to do this morning, had the idea last week, and I know several of you asked, what are we doing this coming week? I'm going to follow through with what I told you. I would like to read 2 Timothy in its entirety this morning. I want to let the Word of God just speak with not so many comments. But you have to have a perspective. Get your mind in the context of that setting. Paul is... he has seen many, many ministry miles. He's already experienced what he talks about in 2 Corinthians 11. Beaten times without numbers. Beaten with rods three times. Three times shipwrecked. All of the hell on earth he's received from his kinsmen as well as from the Gentiles. He has had it tough. At one point in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and told him all the things he's going to suffer. And he did. Now at the end of his life, he is in a dungeon. He is, I would be certain, chained to a wall in a dark, damp, can we use the word dank, setting. He is not free to come and go. He's got a lot of time to think. He's got a lot of time to pray. He is cold. How do we know that? Because in this book, he asks, please bring my cloak. He is writing to this man that is his true child in the faith, he calls him. This man, Timothy, that he's known for some time. Then he gets into some personal things. 2 Timothy, imagine Paul on that dirt. Maybe, who knows? Were the rats in the same room? You know, was it dripping? He knows that he's about to die, and he's willing. But his mind is turning. His mind's not finished. I'm certain part of what he expressed in 2 Corinthians 11 said, aside from all of these external things, there is the daily concern of my heart for all of the churches. For who is weak without my being weak? Who is caught up into sin without my intense concern? He's got a lot on his mind. Let's read 2 Timothy. How long was he there before he started writing or dictating? Well, we don't know. They started off their letters different than us. We put our name at the bottom of the letter. They put theirs at the top. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Try to grab each phrase as it comes out as a new one that's in his mind to pin down. What it means to be an apostle by the will of God. And this whole track record, the whole history is the will of God. And now at the end, he's imprisoned because of this testimony of Jesus. an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. How many nights and how many days has he been in this place? And it's Timothy. Timothy. And Timothy in ministry, his true child in the faith, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears. That was probably their last parting. So that I may be filled with joy. I think Paul's got two main focuses. One is on God and one is on Timothy as he's in this cell. For I am mindful, I'm remembering, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. His dad was a Greek and we don't know anything about him. But these two preceding moms, mother and grandmother, knew Jesus. And I am sure it is in you as well. That's going to come up again, the concept in chapter 2, because there's those that he's got to say, I don't know if they belong to him or not. Anyway, Timothy, I'm certain it's in you. And for this reason, I remind you, kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Later on in chapter 4, we find out that's a gift of evangelism. Kindle it afresh, Timothy. Keep going. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline or sound judgment or sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death. Think about this man who's thinking about his imminent martyrdom. He's about to die and pins these words. He's abolished death because he knows what? Physical death is entrance into life. That death is done and it is gone. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. He's revealed it through the gospel. I think he's getting excited now. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I also suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Back to Timothy, retain the standard of sound words. This is going to come up again in chapter 2 and chapter 3, the concept. As he reveals the opposite. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. You, therefore, my son, my child, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier at active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Third picture, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And I love the two-sided sword there. I've told you, I've taught you, I've passed these things on. You're my faithful disciple. But you're in the Lord's hands. He, I trust, he'll teach you. He'll lead you. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Thinking about this guy, thinking through all that he could do if he was outside of this cell, but he's already proclaimed God's word, which they did not have the New Testament. He probably did not have a complete Old Testament. The word of God is what was given by God. It was printed later on. We have it. Hallelujah. I'm in prison, but the word of God is not. And it's out there and it's going forth. And truly today, as it is going forth, whether in Zambia, in India, where I just was, Oregon Country Fair next week, where have you been, you know? The gospel is proceeding. Sometimes they have it in print. And it's not going to be stopped because you cannot imprison it. I love the teaching that comes there. Verse 10, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. That might be kind of a veiled reference to Israel that he talks about in Romans 9, 10 and 11. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, that's when we believed in him as our Savior, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. There's a future. If we deny him, he will also deny us. He's about to write about a couple of guys that seem to have denied him. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things. Imagine getting personal. Timothy, remind them of these things. And solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to argue or wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Oh, let me speak to that just a moment. What I told you I discovered, I was told about before I went to India, and it proved to be true in India. There is a dearth for the word of God. There is a famine for the word of God. They're trying to muster up ministry stuff, and there is zero teaching in some of the churches and areas where I was of the Word of God. They take little snippets from their memory here and there, and that's all that the people have. They're starving to death. And it is not only India. I believe it is right here in this United States as well. People mishandling the Word of God or not even using it, substituting all kinds of other things to attract the people. It's the Word of God. And so he tells Timothy, Timothy, you're a disciple. Get into the Word of God. Be a workman that works in it and presents it accurately. Receives it accurately. Acts on it accurately. The Word of God. The Word of truth. Verse 16, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Oh man, especially in the day of the internet. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. Thus they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. Paul is reminding Timothy and himself, I don't know if Hymenaeus and Philetus belong to Jesus. I don't know. Their life is showing otherwise. And the second seal of the Lord: let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor, or should be more understood, common use. Just common use. Your everyday silverware is common use. It's okay to have common use stuff. In God's kingdom, there are honorable, mad, prestigious in a sense. God has used somebody mightily, Billy Graham-ish type of people. Others are more the common use. I think I kind of relate to that group rather than the first, but in a large house, there's both, Timothy. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself of these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and watch it come. Just a quick word. It's not about sex here. It's about the lust to argue and to be right. Flee from youthful lust, from verse 14 and following, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. Even when they're tightening that grip on your wrist or ankle, that shackle. Able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses, having escaped the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. But realize this, Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now I'm thinking in Paul's life, where he is in this dungeon, it is one of the most difficult of times. He's not referring to that. Something even tougher in the future. In the future, in the end, that may be opening up in our lifetime, we don't know. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness or religion, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. They're here now, Timothy, but it's ramping up. It's going to get worse. And man, looking around me, around us, it's easy to see this whole list getting bigger and stronger. For among them are those who enter into households to captivate weak women weighed down with their sin, led on by various impulses. They can't make a firm decision to this is true and stand in it. They're pulled here, they're pulled there, and it's not just women. It's people that go all over the map with the map with the next wave of doctrine that comes in, next grandiose idea, all over. Always learning, yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men will also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. By the way, this is the reason he told Timothy in chapter 1, hold to the words, the sound words. Hold to what you've learned. Don't veer off the track. Verse 9, but they will not make further progress, for their foolishness, their folly, will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. But you followed my teaching, my conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, where they stoned him to death. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And in the context, I believe this demands that this is the lens to look at people that are in supposed ministry. This isn't the leaders of the Roman government. The imposters, false apostles, ones that claim to have the truth from God. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad, where they currently are, to worse. And maybe we're living in that age. Deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. Imagine this teacher telling his student this. He's told him before. He's reminding him now. All Scripture, Timothy, God breathed, profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Notice here the emphasis on the Word of God, not the practice of all of the other things that comes under this umbrella of getting to know God today. It's a Word of God. And as you're in it, then experience God. I solemnly charge you, this is to Timothy personally, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, all will be under that King of kings and Lord of lords. And by his appearing, it's coming, and his kingdom, preach the word, his third emphasis on it. Be ready, Timothy, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. This is what I want to hear. Go and look for that teacher, because you don't want to hear truth. Timothy, don't be surprised when it comes. And I'm certain that has been in every area of humanity, since humanity started with Adam and Eve. And it seems that it's going to be ramping up even more so. Verse 4, and what will happen? The result, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to made up stuff, myths. But you, back to Timothy, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. That is the gift that Timothy had by the laying on of hands. Fulfill your ministry. Paul has already fulfilled his, and he's about to talk about the end of that right now. Timothy, run it to the end. Make a good work of it. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He knows. He's all alone in this cold dungeon of a place in Rome. It's like ministry has ended. All of his companions have left. He's going to talk about some of those in a minute, but he knows his life is ebbing. His life is coming to the end. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Timothy, personally, verse 9, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, thinking he's shaking his head. Demas. His heart is sinking as he thinks about Demas and the others. Having loved this present world, present age, has deserted me. He's gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia. We don't know why. Titus to Dalmatia, and we don't know why. Only Luke is with me. Good old Luke, personal physician, historian, see it through to the end guy. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark. Bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Mark. Mark that Paul had to leave behind in a fit of anger with Barnabas back in the book of Acts that we read through. Mark that was the quitter. Mark that had to go home for whatever reason, cost them money, cost them time and energy. And now it has come the full loop back. He's thinking about Mark and wants him. I love it that the Apostle Paul did not give up on people. When they were repentant and ready to go, he picked them up and ran with them. Pick up Mark. Yeah, bring Mark to me. I'd love to have that youth here. Love to have him here with me doing probably ministry outside that is authored by some of the ideas of Paul. We don't know. But Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. So that's a ministry trip. When you come, Timothy, bring the cloak. Put in there the humanist for a moment. I think he is shivering right there on the spot as this is written. Bring the cloak. Or the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus. And the books, especially the parchments. As I said last week when we read this very verse, most likely sections of the Word of God. Maybe some commentaries about the Word of God. What is important to Paul? Alexander the coppersmith, so his mind goes back to this, awful area, this awful time, this awful experience. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, Timothy, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me. Could be, like I said last week, reference to his first imprisonment in Rome. No one defended me, supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth and went on west to Rome. the extent that was furthest west of the Roman jurisdiction, kingdom, and preached the gospel there as well. The lion's mouth is probably Nero the first time. Now he's back, verse 18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed. And where is that delivery going to leave him? Will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. That's not the kingdom of God that's working here on earth. That's not what God is doing through us and through his church right here. That is his presence. Will deliver me to his heavenly kingdom. Paul's perspective for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He's going to deliver me again the next time, probably directly into his presence. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you can see him just smiling, looking up and maybe hand raised, praising his wonderful God while he's in this prison, in this cell. And then he starts thinking about a few other people. Greet Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila. You know, as I go back in my memory, just in the flesh of it, there are certain people that when they come back to my mind, I have to smile. And my heart is warmed. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for that person at that point in time that I got to be with. Whether it was me ministering to them or they to me, or mutual ministry. That's where he is right now. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Yeah. And the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Why would he say that? He needs that cloak. He probably needs some other assistance too. Timothy, I need you, man. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you. Also Puddens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. There's a church of people in Rome. And Paul is somehow connected with that church of people. And they know that he's writing to Timothy. And they say, like my friend Dan Prince said 2 days ago, greet your church for me. Greet your church from the church that he's pastoring there in Ashland. That's what's going on. Yeah, there's a church with him. It's not that he's all alone, except maybe in this dungeon. Probably Luke is in there with him, but maybe not imprisoned, allowed to be a helper to him in those chains. But there's a church there. Why is there a church in this difficult place where the lion's mouth is? Because they were faithful people willing to suffer the hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. There's a church there, and their heart is kin with Timothy. And so the greetings, make every effort. Eubulus greets you, Puddens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. How many, I don't know. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace. The last thing that he would write, the greatest need, and he puts it in every one of his letters that he pens, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace. The last thing he writes to Timothy, you need God's grace. May that grace, that ability from God where you run out of ability, that empowering from God where you have no power, may grace, God's grace be with you. What's your response?
Like a comment on how they were able to hold Paul when all the paperwork had been lost at sea.
We don't know why he was arrested the second time.
Oh.
Probably a different reason. Actually, probably the same reason, different setting. I'm certain it was for the faith. Susie?
About when you read the letter.
Me too.
How did Timothy feel when he received it, when he read that letter? Probably knowing he's not going to see Paul for a little while. Like, till he gets to heaven too. Anybody else?
Kind of a solemn ending. But it's also full of glory. It in a sense makes me think it's worth the run. It's worth the risk taking. It's worth doing this life in Christ, no matter what obstacles and what difficulties are there.
Is there any historical evidence as to when Timothy did receive this? Was it before Paul's death or after?
I don't know what they said.
There are some times in Paul's letters he gives the instruction to people to mimic him. Do what I do. And that probably needs to be interpreted in sort of a narrow way. He means that only in a good sense. Don't do the stupid things I did. But in thinking about that, in the close of this letter, the people he has mentioned, sometimes we are allowed to see the effect that we have had on other people. And I would suspect that much of the time we really are not allowed to see that.
Yes.
And then we also need to be alert to how others have affected us and be quick to, in a good sense, credit them. One of the reasons why I am where I am today is because of this person back there who gave me aid, who pointed me in the right direction, who kicked me in the pants when I needed it. And we need to be able to recognize that, and then, as Paul has done, to credit them and thank the Lord for it. We are not the source of whatever benefit comes from what we have done. We should be thankful that God saw fit to use us as a tool, as a cog on the gear. We're not the gear. Those kinds of things come to my mind as we read some of these references Paul makes to this person or that person. And I would suspect that a man like Demas created a great deal of pain in Paul's heart. And the recognition that really he's not the one who makes the difference ultimately. Demas, in other letters, is credited with being a fellow laborer with Paul.
Yes.
Right there when things are tough, Demas was there. And something happened that caused Demas to turn his back because he loved the world as he perceived it more than he loved what God was offering him through the Apostle Paul. Would you be able to recognize that? And also at the same time recognize that could be me. It could be me. Not develop pride in ourselves because, well, I would never have done that. No. The only reason that is not me is because God's grace is working in me. He has, the word is used here in the New American Standard, he has rescued me. I am the beneficiary of being rescued. Rescued from myself, rescued from the world, even though there are times I think I am drawn to it more than I ought to be. That's enough.
You know, in this book, as with Paul's other letters, but especially this one at the end, it's still all about Jesus. It truly is. I was given the great gift, the book, Dying Words of Saints and Sinners. And to read some of the words of those that were not believers in the living God at their solemn end. It's gruesome at times. It's terrifying. And on the other hand, the believers coming to the end, very similar to this. And I'm ready to go with a great hallelujah. What have we done in this life? What have we done? Paul can say, I fulfilled my ministry. I hope I'll be able to say that. I fulfilled my ministry. So, Luke holding baby, would you mind going back with where the other babies are and tell Brandy that she can have the kids come out? We're going to do some singing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go through these songs and make them worship from the perspective that we've just walked through with Paul, applying it to him but also to us. The first song, I Will Praise Him Still. Got it. Static on the line. Considering what we've talked about today, we've read today, this is what Paul did. And this will start us off for this set of songs. Praise God for these people that can pen great stuff like this. When the morning comes, the harvest hill, I will sing his name.